Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Carlos Loria, who is the Senior Americas Program Coordinator at the Committee to Protect Journalists, where he serves as Chief Strategist and Spokesperson on press freedom issues in the Americas. He monitors and documents press freedom violations in Latin America and has led missions to Mexico, Colombia, Guatemala, Venezuela, Ecuador, Bolivia, Nicaragua, Haiti, Brazil, El Salvador, and Argentina. He serves on the board of the Maria Moores Cabot Award for Excellence in Latin American Journalism, which is sponsored by the Columbia University Graduate School of Journalism. Welcome to Background Briefing, Carlos Loria.
Hello, it's a pleasure to be with you.
And it does appear that the fugitive from the U.S., the ex-contractor for the NSA, Edward Snowden, even though he didn't get on his plane in Moscow for Havana, he was booked on a plane, he didn't show up. The assumption is that he's in custody of the Russians, which would probably be the KGB, or the SVR, as they're now called, and he's probably being debriefed, but he is supposedly going to end up in Ecuador. That seems to be the consensus. But isn't there an irony that WikiLeaks, of course, are helping him and probably arrange for his ending up in Ecuador because, after all, Julian Assange is in the Ecuadorian embassy in London. So just give me a sense of the status of press freedom in Ecuador, given that WikiLeaks are the champions of press freedom. At the same time, their champions, in the case of the government of Correa in Ecuador, appear to be less than friendly to the press.
Exactly right. It's a great irony, because the decision comes at a time when freedom of expression is under siege in Ecuador. In fact, the president has just signed into law a piece of legislation that the government argues would give more access to information and would democratize the media. But in fact, our review of this legislation views this law as a regulation that will give wide discretion to the new regulatory agency to both impose arbitrary sanctions and censor the press. For example, Ecuadorian journalists are really shocked about one of the provisions that prohibits media lynching. This is Article 26 of this communications law, and they define media lynching as, quote, the dissemination of concerted and reiterative information with the purpose of undermining the prestige of a person or a legal entity. And, this provision, media outlets that found violating this provision could be ordered to issue public apologies and would be subject to criminal and civil sanctions that are not specified in the law. Problem is that the legislation is filled with these provisions that are both ambiguous, imprecise, and that can really open the door for government censorship, especially a government that has made of its confrontation with the media almost a state policy.
So Rafael Correa, the leader of Ecuador, is incredibly popular, though, isn't he? He was just elected, I think, by a landslide.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he's extremely popular. He was reelected in February. But you know, his record, you know, as documented by regional, local, and international press freedom organization is dismal. I mean, apart from this law, you know, Ecuador and Correa himself had filed a record of defamation lawsuits both in civil and criminal courts as a means of intimidating critics. You know, and people may remember the case of a leading newspaper, El Universo, whose directors were sentenced to 3 years in jail and the paper to pay a total of $40 million in damages, and complained that stemmed from an opinion column in 2011. And late Correa himself pardoned the paper, but the message was sent for those who write critical op-eds. Something similar happened to the two of the most important investigative reporters who wrote a book about corruption scandal involving a brother of President Correa, Fabricio, and contracts with the state. And the only people prosecuted for this case were the journalists themselves, who were sentenced to pay $1 million in damages after the president himself asked for $10 million in damages for alleging that his reputation had been damaged. He pardoned the journalists together with the directors of L'Universo after, you know, an outcry, international public opinion.
Again, I'm speaking with Carlos Loria, who's the Senior Americas Program Coordinator at the Committee to Protect Journalists, where he serves as Chief Strategist and Spokesperson on press freedom issues in the Americas. He monitors and documents press freedom violations in Latin America and has led missions to Mexico, Colombia, Guatemala, Venezuela, Ecuador, Bolivia, Nicaragua, Haiti, Brazil, El Salvador, and Argentina. So tell me about this board that President Correa of Ecuador has set up, a five-member council for the regulation and development of information and communication, which is led by a personal representative of the president to oversee the news media. What kind of influence is that? I mean, it's pretty extraordinary that you could have such a thing in the first place in a free country.
Exactly. I mean, this is a body that will basically regulate what Correa has called access from media outlets and will have, you know, broad powers to sanction and censor the press. And, you know, the text of the law, if you find other provisions, you know, it's filled with provisions that are really broad. For example, there's an article that says that states that people have the right to verified, contrasted, precise, and contextualized public information. This is according to many people, but to international instruments on freedom of expression, it's a contradiction. The Declaration of Principles on Freedom of Expression of the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights states that prior conditioning of expressions such as truthfulness, timeliness, or impartiality is incompatible with the right to freedom of expression. But it not only contradicts international standards, also constitutional guarantees on freedom of expression. So it's a 44-page law, contains 119 articles, you know. When I was discussing this with advocates and Ecuadorian journalists, it was difficult for them to find out which was the worst of these provisions, since they view nearly all of them as grave violations to press freedom.
And again, I'm speaking with Carlos Loria, who's the Senior Americas Program Coordinator at the Committee to Protect Journalists. We're talking about President Correa of Ecuador and his relationship to the press and the extent to which he won in a landslide recently and has passed draconian laws to muzzle the press, to monitor the press, and a law that prohibits media lynching, which can be defined loosely as insulting a politician, for example, like himself. So how would this compare, for example, to Hugo Chavez, who only recently, the Chavistas finally seem to have captured almost all of the media now in Venezuela. But for the longest time, of course, there were some fairly vigorous private media that opposed Chavez. But systematically, he's managed to close them all down. And finally, the final one, Global Vision, has been bought out by cronies of the Chavistas. So now there's virtually no opposition press left in Venezuela. And of course, Venezuela is the other possible destination for Edward Snowden that the WikiLeaks people are escorting, or at least at this point, as I mentioned, he may well be being debriefed by the successor agency to the KGB, the SVR, in Moscow. But presumably at some point or other, he's going to end up in Ecuador. So give us a comparison then between what Correa has managed to do in a very short period of time in Ecuador compared to what Hugo Chavez was able to do over his 14-year tenure.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I think that you've mentioned it there in your question. You know, the state of press freedom in Venezuela, you know, it's dismal. You know, has to do with, you know, 14 years of confrontation where progressively the media, private media, has been breaking down by an array of legislation, by harsher penalties for defamation in the penal code. by political decisions to get rid of, you know, the most critical opposition channel, which has the largest audience. I'm talking about RCTV, which was off the air after its concession was not renewed in May of 2007. It's a political decision by Chavez himself. And it's difficult to compare, you know, between countries, but, you know, there's been some similarities in the tactics employed by Correa in Ecuador. And, you know, there hasn't been any closures, any shutdowns of media, although, you know, there were a few stations, radio stations, a dozen of those in last year whose concessions were not renewed, and some of them were arbitrarily closed for most of them critical of the government before their appeal process was finished. This happened in Ecuador. But, you know, yeah, there's a tendency to us in Venezuela to describe critics as members of the opposition. There's a tendency to use defamation provisions to target critics. And following the footsteps of Hugo Chavez, Correa has also built vast network of media outlets, basically doing propaganda. You know, it's in Venezuela, it has been called the communication hegemony, a muscular network of media to build initially to challenge the influence of private media, but then become, you know, as more and more investment was made, really protagonist in terms of the airwaves, as other channels, private channels, had to cut critical programming. Some of the other channels were off the air, like RCTV. So Correa has built this vast network of media, and it's not only used to transmit propaganda, but as a platform to smear critics and to advance the government's narrow political agenda.
So with the death of Chavez, has Correa assumed the mantle as the new Chavez in terms of being a leftist, a Latin American leader who, you know, obviously wins popularity by being opposed to the United States? I mean, obviously, this man is popular. He just got reelected by a landslide. I think they have, about 100 out of the 140 seats in the National Assembly, don't they?
Exactly. And that's what allowed them to pass the law with their majority in the National Assembly without even debating it. They just voted for the law. So, yeah, I think the analysis is right. I think, you know, Correa is trying to move in that direction to gain, obviously, popularity at home by, you know, opposing the U.S., but also, you know, in this circumstance, he's trying to clean the image of the government after, you know, this repressive tactics against the media, and trying to show, you know, first by giving Julian Assange
asylum.
Yeah, exactly. And now with, you know, if this comes through, if Snowden is finally getting asylum in Ecuador, this will be another attempt by Ecuador to clean its image that has been damaged clearly. But I think that the international community is not fooled. And an example is that, for example, in the Universal Periodic Review that took place in August last year in the United Nations Council, there were 70 member states that drafted recommendations urging Ecuador to improve the state of press freedom in the country. Obviously, that the government response was usual when it does to any objection. They responded with disdain, and basically the Minister of Foreign Affairs said that there was ignorance behind the international criticism.
But I understand in 2009, Correa closed down a U.S. military base, and then in 2011, he kicked out a bunch of high-ranking diplomats, declaring the U.S. ambassador person non grata after WikiLeaks published State Department cables alleging corruption in Ecuador in the government. So at some point or other, how long can he be opposed to the United States at the same time have the U.S. the biggest trading partner? And I imagine a lot of the trade is in oil, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's question that maybe a political analyst
can, that's true, better than me.
But, you know, what I'll say is that, you know, Korea has not only battled the United States, but also, you know, any intergovernmental body that has objected his anti-press policies. And an example of this is his battle and his fight to neutralize the work of the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights based in D.C. and its special rapporteur on freedom of expression. And, you know, the Ecuadorian government has led an effort followed by members of the ALBA bloc, including Venezuela, Nicaragua, Bolivia, to dismantle the office of the special rapporteur after the special rapporteur issued annual reports and recommendations and press releases, you know, criticizing the government for its actions against the press. Fortunately, you know, these attempts have failed, but the debate is ongoing, and, you know, the government has really decided to make this an issue before the Organization of American States, and will keep pressing for changes that, you know, may in the end cause damage to, you know, the human rights body of the OAS, which has been a model in terms of promoting and protecting press freedom in the Americas, in the Western Hemisphere.
Well, just in closing, Carlos Loria, since you monitor freedom of the press, particularly in Latin America, how do you see the evolution of this group, WikiLeaks? And of course, you know, Julian Assange is holed up in the Ecuadorian embassy in London. Edward Snowden apparently is going to end up in Ecuador. So the issue of freedom of the press for WikiLeaks is a valid one, given that WikiLeaks claims to be a champion of freedom of the press and open information and exposing government secrets, all of which is obviously welcomed by journalists. But the question remains is, who are these secrets ending up with? If the secrets that Snowden have end up with the KGB or the SVR, and if they've already, Chinese intelligence has already downloaded everything he's got on these thumb drives, and the leaders of this organization end up being protected by governments that are anti-American, then it leads you to question how unbiased WikiLeaks has become, whether it's no longer a neutral champion for press freedoms, but it's taking a political position.
Well, I mean, we have said already that Julian Assange and the WikiLeaks organization have been an assertive force in promoting the free flow of information, and also that we are against him being prosecuted with the Espionage Act, you know, would be a terrible precedent for press freedom around the world. But, you know, this, the fact that, you know, a government like the Ecuadorian government, which has, you know, one of the worst press freedom record in the Americas in terms of government repression, is first giving asylum to Assange in the embassy in London, and now thinking about the possibility of also giving asylum to Edward Snowden, it's clearly an irony. It comes at a time, again, when freedom of expression is under siege. And by providing asylum to both Assange and to Snowden, this won't change at all the repressive conditions facing Ecuadorian journalists who want to report critically about government policies and practices. So it would be good both for I assume Assange knows this well, but for someone like Snowden to know that the country that he may be ending up in asylum is not clearly, is far from being a champion on freedom of expression, and in fact is, according to our research, one of the worst in the Americas.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today, Carlos Loria.
You're very welcome. Thank you for your attention on this matter.
Again, Amy, speaking with Carlos Loria, who's a Senior Americas Program Coordinator at the Committee to Protect Journalists, where he serves as Chief Strategist and Spokesperson on press freedom issues in the Americas. He monitors and documents press freedom violations in Latin America and has led missions to Mexico, Colombia, Guatemala, Venezuela, Ecuador, Bolivia, Nicaragua, Haiti, Brazil, El Salvador, and Argentina. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me, and I'll be back again with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.